Thank you, Sam, for those songs. Well thought out and prepared. I appreciate that. It's sometimes difficult to prepare a song selection when you're not sure of all the points of the sermon, as some of you have figured out that have led singing this weekend. But you've done an excellent job. I appreciate all the thought that you've all put into that this weekend. 100 years ago, if you were a man in the United States, according to the Census Bureau, your average life expectancy would have been 48.4 years. Some of you would have already passed, statistically speaking. Women, 54 years. Y'all have had an advantage over us for quite a while. Today, though, the Census Bureau says the average lifespan or life expectancy of men is 84.3 years. So we've gained, guys, 35.9 years. Quite a feat, I'd say. And women, you've made it up to 86.6 years life expectancy, up 32.6 years. Well, a lot's changed in 100 years. That's just 1917 was the year. A lot of advancements in medicine, a lot of advancements in technology over those times. I just looked in the city of Detroit, for example, where the auto industry was really booming about 100 years ago. It's still there quite a bit, but even more so then. 3/4 of the deaths in 1917 in Detroit were people that got hit by cars, pedestrians. You didn't have to be 16 to drive then. So little kids would drive, they'd run over somebody. That'd be it. They also didn't have stop signs yet invented, and so traffic accidents quite prevalent. You could imagine if you didn't know who was supposed to stop or go, but just drive it like you stole it, I guess. I don't know what they did. It didn't take them long to figure out they had to come up with a set of rules in general, but definitely in Detroit where they had such issue with that. A lot of technology. People's confidence, though, in our time has really grown. We go around and we talk to people. Folks just see themselves as living a really long life because we see that life expectancy making it to 84, and they say in the next 20 years life expectancy may be 100 or more. And folks are living longer and longer and longer, and we have a lot of confidence that we're going to live longer and longer and longer. And there's not anything at all wrong with planning. Not anything at all wrong with just thinking you're going to live a long life. But to bank everything you've got on that, you may be in for danger. I want to live a long life. I like people. I like spending time with folks. I like coming together and worshiping. I spend as long as I can with my wife. But that doesn't mean that we have forever here on this earth. It doesn't mean that our life was never going to end. It's troublesome that we lose the urgency to act now because we say we're going to live a long life because people around us live a long life. And we notice all these folks that live all this time. Look in Job chapter 14 with me as we begin. Time's always been a problem. There's nothing new about time being a problem for man. It's something that we've all got to deal with. It's a problem because it is finite. I think of the things that we have in this world. We have so many possibilities. The jobs you have, the amount of money you can make, the amount of, kids you could have, all sorts of things really is kind of decision-making. But there's one thing that really you have no control over, for the most part, and that's time. Look in Job 14 and verse 1. It says, "Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil." Just a little bit of time. Short-lived. Oh, it seems like a long time, but it's just a little blimp in the big scheme of things. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow, does not remain. We think of time in our life as going to be such a long and distant thing, and I'm going to live such a long life, but I never have found the expiration date anywhere on my body that tells me when my last day is going to be. I simply don't know when it is. We have a lot of problems then relative to time. And this is one that Job mentions here. Other problems we might deal with, one of which I think about in 2 Peter chapter 3. This is maybe the most of problems when it comes to dealing with time. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 says, Know this first of all, that in the last day mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continue just as it was from the beginning of creation. Isn't this the problem that you see today among people even? They say, what is this? You keep telling me about this. You keep telling me about this God, but it's been 2,000 years since anything supernatural happened. It's been a long time. And so folks say, well, then that's all that matters to it. Nothing's going to happen. You're guaranteed a long life. The Lord's not going to come back in your lifetime because it hadn't happened in the last 2,000 years. That's what folks say, and that's how folks act, even amongst the Lord's people. We don't think it's going to be today. We don't know that it's going to be tomorrow, but we just think it's not going to happen any time in our lifetime. So you got a lifetime then. You've got a life. You got all sorts of time to think about what you're going to do. You can live it up, folks think, because you've got time. You're going to grow to be old. And then right as you're on your deathbed, you can ask for forgiveness. I guess that's what folks think that have this sort of mentality. We have a problem learning and understanding the frailty of our life and measuring our days and knowing for certainty that we have a finite amount of it. You have plenty of time to just allow yourself to enjoy the flesh and the lust of it. It's what society would tell you. Life is something that we do daily. And yet we don't understand how frail it truly is and how little of it we truly have. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, making the most of your time. Do you make the most of your time? Redeeming time is how I put it there on the slide. Redeem simply means to buy back. So you take a coupon into the store, you redeem back a certain value based upon that, or gift certificate or something like that. We understand redeem in that sense. In other words, we've wasted a lot of time. We need to get some time back. We think about it in that way. We have a problem with it. And so we want to get all the time we can. We want to use as much time as possible. It's a problem of us to think of it in that way. To think that we can redeem and use time however we want to do it, manipulate time in these ways. We need to understand that we have a problem redeeming time. Idleness is not something of the Christian. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 13, the young widows there, he mentions that they become idle. It was not a positive attribute that he was talking to them about. Look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 6, it says there, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? Here's this landowner. He's in this parable that Jesus is telling. He's going out and hiring workers, and he goes out at this time and he simply asks them, why have you been standing around? Why have you been idle? How are you going to get back at time? It's gone. It's wasted. Or it's been used. Idleness is something of great danger for us. And it's a problem for us as well. We have the temptation to procrastinate for things because we don't do it today. You can do it tomorrow. We don't utilize our time wisely in this sense because we think we have so much of it that the things that we really think need to be done today, we can put that off. We can procrastinate on those things until it is tomorrow. Look in Hebrews chapter 3 with me. Hebrews the 3rd chapter and verse 7. Notice the urgency that's put here. And here in this text, he's quoting from Psalm 95. And he says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice. Today, it's an urgency, it's right now. Today, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Today, if you hear it, do something about it. Really, in the things of which we don't know, there are a few things of which we can be certain about. But time is not one of them. We can't be certain that we have tomorrow to get done with what we might need to get done with today. Tomorrow might bring sickness. I don't know that anybody goes to bed at night and says, tomorrow, I'm going to wake up with this illness. Tomorrow, I'm going to die. Anybody ever go to bed and think that way? I tell you what, if you got up the next morning, you wouldn't brush your teeth. You wouldn't have a focus on things that you might think are trivial if you thought this was it. Now, we do things in a normal and a practical manner each and every day, but nobody thinks that tomorrow is going to be the day that brings those things to us. Even though we may have health today, you may not have it tomorrow. Tomorrow, you may decrease your interest in that. Tomorrow, your desire may fade. Nobody ever says, tomorrow I'm going to stop my faith. It's a progression over time. We procrastinate. Tomorrow is for the fool. It's the fool's day. Look in Luke chapter 12 with me. Luke chapter 12, and beginning in verse 16. Luke 12 and verse 16. It says, he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build large ones, and there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is very practical, isn't it? When you look at it from an agricultural sense, he's had a good year. Farmer would say, we had a really good year that year. We had to build more barns. We had to get some more silos in, store this stuff up. Very practical in the sense. Folks plan this way. If you're not in the agricultural business, you might look at it from your business sense. You say, we sold a lot of product this year. We got to get a new warehouse. Nothing wrong with planning that way, is there? There's nothing wrong with making those decisions. But notice what it said here in verse 20. God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? You focused on that. You made that the priority, and you're missing the mark because you never knew when it was going to end. You weren't ready. You never knew when it was going to be for that. My grandmother passed away a little over a year ago, and she said, and she left a letter to us about the land. Oh, the land's been here for so long, and your ancestors came to Texas 150 years ago and got this land grant, and this is the land. Don't sell it. She's dead and buried. It's not hers. Oh, but we make preparations. We think about stuff like that. We make that a focus. I want to worry about tomorrow. I want to worry about what comes the next day. And I practice and procrastinate that all the time. But you see here, this very thing, it's the problem that this guy was having, preparing and focusing on tomorrow and not what was important at the time. It made him a fool, he says. All that tomorrow meant to him was death. Whatever intentions he may have had for self-improvement tomorrow, whatever intentions he had for world betterment, they died right there with him in that parable. And look in James chapter 4 with me. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James 4 and verse 13. We act as if we have plenty of time. We can put whatever we want to, whenever we want to. We can put career first. We can put whatever you want to put in that blank first, and we can worry about serving God later because we've got tomorrow for that. James 4 and verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make profit. And we'll say, well, we can do that because God knows that I need to make a living. God knows that I need time to get ahead in life. I need time to prepare for these certain things. I can put that first now, and I can put serving the kingdom later. God knows that, right? You got to get your education, right? You got to go to college, and you got to spend all that time getting your education, and then you got to, after you get done with that, you got to start your business. And then you can't just start your business. You've got to be successful at your business. That's going to take time. God knows we've got to do that. The Lord knows I've got to be successful at my business. I got to get my career together. I got plenty of time. Once I get that set up and that's running well and it kind of doesn't even need me anymore, so it's just kind of on its own, that's when I'll put God first. That's when I'll adjust the time in my life and I'll place it there. Look at the next verse. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Indeed, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting is evil. The truth is about time is that it's short. It's a short-term life and we make long-term plans. It's the truth of it all is that we worry about education and business and income and retirement and all those pursuits, and none of it's guaranteed to be here or attained or to even remain forever. We ought to live to say, if the Lord wills, I live in as the Lord wills, and seek first His kingdom always. How have you spent your time? What about that letter that you were going to write to John and Mary that came and visited in the congregation, and you were going to write them a letter and you were going to thank them for coming, and they came, and it's been so long ago, now it'd just be weird to send it. What about that text or email you were going to send? What about that thank you note? Don't you remember Sue? She brought something over to you. She brought you a meal at one time. She had just been so thoughtful of me. I was going to write her a thank you note. I was going to let her know about it. We look up, it's been 6 months ago. Now we just feel like we can't do it. Whatever happened to the tomorrow that I was going to start reading my Bible every day and studying every day? Oh, I've got to work in my job. I got to worry about my kids. I got to worry about this and that. I'm going to read my Bible. This is the year. We only talk about that in January, at the beginning of the year. This is the year I'm going to do it. Next year. And then when you get there, next year. Tomorrow, I'm going to start that. Today's a good day if you're looking for one. I was going to start attending Bible classes. You know, I've been knowing I needed to do that. You know, I've been knowing that Sunday evening worship, I know they put together that time, and that's a real important time, and a lot of folks come to that, and the lessons are real, you know, good then. But I've been so busy, you know. But I know I need to get back to that. I'm going to start that tomorrow, next Sunday. Next Sunday, that's the one, right? What about that? When we were going to do that Bible class and that Sunday evening worship. About that tomorrow that I've been saving up, I was going to apologize to that person that I did wrong. It was a little anthill at the time, and now it's a mountain. But I kept waiting until tomorrow to handle my problems. That bad habit that I was going to break. I kept saying I was going to do it till tomorrow. And now the habit's stronger than it's ever been. What are you going to put in these categories? How are you going to work it out? You've got to answer these questions for yourself. Well, I was going to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to be the light of the world tomorrow. I'm going to be living my life for Christ. I'm going to be exemplifying Him in the way I treat other people, and the way I talk, the way I think, the way I act. But that takes effort, you know. So I was going to start it tomorrow. There's a problem with time. We think we can do it all tomorrow, but we notice, and as I wrote that list of questions, I thought about all the things that I was going to do tomorrow. We don't have it guaranteed, folks. We have nothing about it that tells us that you'll be here tomorrow to be able to do these things. You better get to focusing on here and now. Look with me in Acts chapter 24. The problem of time was one that Felix had, I believe, and failed to overcome this particular problem, at least it seems from what we have of information. Acts 24, verse 25 says, as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened. The word had such an effect on him. He became frightened. This was really having a, impact on him, we'd say. He's getting, this is really scaring him, I guess you'd say. And he said, go away for the present. When I find time, I'll summon you. Now, you're telling me about self-control, Paul. You're telling me about righteous living. You're telling me about the judgment that's to come. And all that stuff, Felix says, is that's troublesome. You go away. When I have a time to answer about that, I'll call for you. He waited for a convenient season. Sometimes we make the same mistake. We think, I've got plenty of time to face these things. I've got plenty of time to solve that. I've got years until I need to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. I've got years to think about it. I can make my teenage mistakes and I can live out my college years as fun as I want to because I can worry about serving God after that. I've got time. We fall into that same trap all too often. You see, obeying the gospel and having our sins washed away, that's important. But we got all these other things that we need to be doing. I got some other opportunities, as with Felix and Paul. Look at verse 27. After 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. Wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. It never says in between those verses whether he had that convenient season. No indication that I'm aware of that he did. I hope and pray that he did. But he didn't take a record of it here. I don't know where Felix is right now. We have a record of this. This exchange that happened here, maybe, I don't know, he may have been in agony for the last 2,000 years, wishing he'd had time. I don't want any of us to think, boy, I wish I'd have just obeyed when I had the time. And I'd been obedient to Christ when I had the time. You know the account of the 10 virgins there in Matthew chapter 25, but look over there and notice a little bit about this relative to what we're talking about this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 25 of Matthew says, "The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all got drowsy, began to sleep. At midnight there was a shout, 'Behold the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' All those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' The prudent answered, 'No, not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. The door was shut, and later the other virgins came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' And he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" Notice what's in verse 13. Be on the alert then. You be ready. Why? "For you do not know the day nor the hour." You don't know when that time is. Here's the example that he gives. He says, you need to be ready. The foolish virgins were good women. It wasn't that they were bad people. They were wanting to go into this feast. They had put some preparation in. They weren't ready when the time came. They failed to solve the problem of time. They were in the kingdom. They wanted to meet him, but they made some preparations and it simply wasn't enough. The spirit of tomorrow might be what had caused their ruin. The problem of time was that they ran out at that moment. You need to be on the alert, he says, for you don't know that time. So how do we solve it? What do we do? I'm going to leave you with some just practical applications of it in our lesson. First and foremost, as we've said all weekend, we need to be sure that we're serving God first. Because we have time to do that right now. I may not have time to do some other things that aren't that important. I can put those off till tomorrow, but I can't put this off till tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The day of the Lord will come as a thief, it says, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. We need to spend our time getting ready now to serve Him now, because now is the only time I may have. It might be your last day today. I've driven in Houston. You're crazy. You don't know. Today might be your only day. You need to get that right today. We need to apply ourselves as well. Look at Ecclesiastes 9 with me. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. If we accomplish things of this nature, we're going to have to apply ourselves. We looked at this in class this morning as well. It says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Do it as best as you possibly can. Play is easier than work. And so a kid chooses to play rather than work. We need to get busy, though. We need to be applying ourselves, act our age, as it were. Spend your time that you have now wisely serving God and serving Him first. We ought to focus on His Word as well. Now, I say this in a real practical application type for you. There's a lot of things that you can decide that you're going to go read today. There's a lot of books that are out there, and there's a lot of books that there's absolutely nothing wrong with you going and reading for an entertainment purpose. And there are some that we should stay far away from. I tell you what, if we put reading for enjoyment, pleasure, fictional tales above studying and reading God's Word, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time if we focus upon that. There's all this literature available, but what a waste of time, what a waste of our talent, what a waste of the paper and the ink if we let that sort of literature come before studying God's Word. Look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. If you're a reader, and I know many people that are, that like to read all sorts of different books, you need to be sure that it's something that's wholesome first. You need to be real sure that it doesn't take the place of studying God's Word. Put away cheap literature. It doesn't help you in serving God. You put studying His Word first and foremost. Focus on His Word. That'll help you solve the problem of wasting your time. It'll be well spent in God's Word. What about the things you do in your spare time? There's some application for us there as well. The world around us is just pleasure crazy. Be happy. Have fun. Enjoy. It's just kind of dizzy, all the things that are available for recreation. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4 says, they'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Most of the pleasure that's available out there is simply a mirage. It's a lie to say that it's fun. Look, they'll quench your thirst for now, but then you're going to need a little bit more and a little bit more all the time. Social activities at different religious groups deal with this problem all the time. I get folks in for the social and I give them a little bit of Bible. And then the social starts to get over. We got to do something new. We got to start a softball league. We got to keep those folks coming back. Well, that gets old. Then we got to add this. Then we got to add that. We got to add all these different things in. They deal with this problem. You know, we deal with this problem and what we allow ourselves to spend our time on, what we allow to be our recreation in our lives. Everyone needs recreation. But let's be sure if we're having recreation that it's recreating, that it's rejuvenating us, that we're relaxing, that if it tears me down physically, if it tears me down mentally, morally, or spiritually, that's not recreation that's worth my time. Because my time's valuable. I only have it right now. Meditating on fictional injuries and things of that nature, some folks find enjoyment in that. They think, oh, so-and-so hurt me. So-and-so offended me. Whether intentional or not, you know what? If you spend your time worrying about that sort of stuff, I'd say it's a waste. Forget it. Be happy at least. Focus on these sort of things. Don't carry a chip on your shoulder. If you carry a chip on your shoulder, you got to tote it around all the time. Let those sort of things go. Forget it. Leave those things to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn over there with me. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Let some of those things go. Just forget it at times. Focus on what's important. Don't ponder about your past mistakes. I can't change anything about the past. I've made plenty of them. I'm sure we all have. And you can think about them and dwell on them if you want to, but it ain't going to help you one second in taking your step forward. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps and move on. Forget about those things that just drag you down. It's a waste of time. And stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about the future. We don't know what the future is going to hold. But I know this much. I know that God is in the future. I don't know if I'll live on this earth tomorrow. I don't know that, but I know God will be tomorrow. I know He'll be in the future. And that you know what? That's enough. That ought to quiet my nerves considerably. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Turn loose of yesterday, because it's gone. Don't reach for tomorrow because it hasn't come yet. But grab for today because it's here right now. As I was working on this lesson, I don't normally use poems or anything of that nature, but I was reminded of a country song from the 90s. It was called One More Day. Diamond Rio song. It said, last night I had a crazy dream. A wish was granted just for me. It could be for anything. I didn't ask for money or a mansion in Malibu. I simply wished one more day with you. What a love song. I never tell that to my wife. I just want one more day. Come on, let's have fun. We enjoy it. That's all we want. It's one more day. Said, first thing I'd do if I had that one more day is I'd pray for time to crawl. I'd unplug the telephone. I'd keep the TV off. I'd hold you every second and say, a million I love yous. That's what I'd do with one more day with you. Would you turn the TV off if you knew it was your last day with your loved ones? If you knew it was your last day to serve God and get yourself right with Him, would you turn your telephone off and log off of Facebook? Song continues, one more day, one more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what I'd do. Leave me wishing for one more day with you. You probably heard the song. I heard it a couple times at funerals. Because that's what people think about. I wish I had more time with that person. We got a problem with time, folks. We need to be using it now and using it wisely. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 15 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish. You spend your time wise, you understand what God would have you to do. There is so much sin and evil and foolishness and wastefulness in this world. Be wise. You make the most of your time, not the future time. Not tomorrow. You don't have that yet. It's not available. The time you have is right now. This moment. Make the most of it. Finally, look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles. The time you've had, he tells them, was enough time for you to handle all the worldly thoughts you needed to be worrying about. Having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. He said the time past was good enough for all of those things. You leave them in the past. You live starting now for Christ. You believe verse 3? If you live in sin and you put off repenting and obeying and serving God I encourage you first and foremost, and you need to thank God for bringing you along this far. He brought you at least this far in time, but He hadn't promised you tomorrow. We need to start using our time wisely. If we can help you in that this morning, please let us know as we stand together and as we sing.